Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sal Capaccio, Bill's Mafia from WGN. What's up? What's going on? Are you guys going to kick some ass and shock the world on Sunday?
Man, you guys sound like I thought I was doing New York radio for a minute there. I'm down from Atlanta. I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely. I mean, we are loving it here. I really appreciate it. And I am Buffalo born and bred, guys. And nice. I left the area for a while. I lived down in Florida for like 16 years. And I came back here. I'm the only man in America who chose to leave Florida to come back to Buffalo, New York, by the way.
Well, good timing.
I've been back here for about 10 years. And, you know, I've been following this team since I was a kid. Went through the Super Bowl years, went through the drought, and this is a really special time here, and now I'm experiencing it as a professional, not just on a personal fan level.
Well, it's a fun team to watch. Sal Capaccio joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's with the Bills Radio Network. And Sal, let's talk about heading into this weekend with what the Bills did defensively last week. I mean, they shut down the number two rushing team in the league. They made Lamar make throws he didn't want to make, and then obviously he made the big mistake. So going into this week, how do they repeat that performance, obviously, against a much more difficult opponent?
Yeah, you know, we go back to week six against the Chiefs, and I thought they had a good game plan going into the game, and you're going to say, how is that possible when they allowed 245 yards? But, you know, the game plan was don't let Patrick Mahomes in the passing game beat you, and they didn't. And Tyreek Hill had three catches for 20 yards in that game, and Patrick Mahomes threw for only 225 yards, but he was efficient, and he hit like 21 of 26 passes, but you know, the Bills just said, we're not going to give up the big play. They invited them to run, and they did. Against the Baltimore Ravens, the opposite. Hey, they said, we're not going to let them run. We're going to let Lamar Jackson run. You can throw all you want. We don't believe that you're a good enough passer to beat us. And that's the difference here between these two teams. Of course, as you guys know, the Chiefs have a counterpunch. You know, they can run, and they can throw. So this is a much different test. I will say the Bills are a different team, though. They were a passive, less aggressive unit on defense back in week six. They were also missing Matt Milano, who is arguably their best defensive player. He does so much at the linebacker spot. I think they're going to be a little more aggressive in this game. I think they're going to pay a little more attention to the run, as well as trying to obviously shut down the pass.
It is Sal Capaccio, guys, from the Bills Radio Network. If you're just tuning in here on Dukes and Bill on the waitfor.com hotline. Speaking of the defense, we were talking about it. It's kind of like the Dolphins back in the day with a no-name defense. I mean, speedy. How are they getting it done defensively?
You know, the defense overall, since Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier got here, as you guys know, they've been a very good unit, right? They were top two or top three in the league for a couple of years. Took a big dip this year in the first half of the season. But what happened was, I would say it's really time on task. You know, there's no preseason. There's no OTAs. There's no minicamp. You know, and then they had different parts in the front seven. They had Mario Addison and Quentin Jefferson and Vernon Butler come in, A.J. Klein. So I think it just took a little time for them. And this is a unit that really is more about the sum than it is the parts. You know, yes, they have a great player, Tre'Davious White. We all know that. But this is a team-oriented defense. That's what they preach. That's what they like to play. So they don't need the star players necessarily. But, of course, it helps to have them. I really like what they've done, though, their player development. Guys have really come around. A.J. Klein, they didn't know how to use him. He fills in for Matt Milano. He was a disaster the first couple weeks. Suddenly, he's incredible. He wins the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's having all these accolades. Then Mulatto comes back, and you're like, oh, maybe they could use both of them. And they actually ran more 4-3 last week against the Ravens to stop the run.
So, Josh Norman in the back half of that defense, what are they going to do to try to contain that receiving core? You talked about, you know, guys out of the backfield and how they did in that first game. But how much better is this secondary now overall, in your opinion?
Since Frazier McDermott have been here, the backbone of this defense has been the secondary. They've been great. And, you know, I would say that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, individually, they're not, like, the best safety in the league. But I think together they might be the best tandem in the league. They're terrific. They play off each other so well. They're so flexible. They disguise coverages so well. And, of course, Tre'Davious White's a first-team All-Pro. You know, but they pride themselves in not giving up the big play. And when they played in Week 6, they had Tre'Davious White essentially shadow Tyreek Hill the entire game. It was 3 catches for 20 yards is all he had. You know, they rotate on the other side between Josh Norman and Levi Wallace. You know, but that's probably like the weakest part of the four-part of secondary. But even then, it's pretty good. And you guys saw what Taron Johnson did as a nickel corner. He's a good young player. Had that pick six that swung the game against the Ravens.
Sal Capaccio's with us, guys, from the Bills Radio Network here on Dukes and Bell. And so here's the thing, Sal. We said when we were handicapping the draft years ago when Josh Allen was coming up, I go, look at that. We're like, come on. He's playing against lesser competition in that conference. He's not accurate. How blown away, like, I know he's beloved in Western New York, but how blown away were you by the maturity and the development and the way he's so much more accurate now than he was previously?
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty amazing, actually. You know, what I said about Josh Allen when he came in was, you know, people would really bang on his, you know, accuracy and completion percentage. And my thought always was, look, the Bills didn't draft him to be 70% completion guy. They drafted him to be probably 65%, and then he makes up for the other 5% with wild plays and the plays that other human beings simply can't make. But here we are, guys. He's a 70% completion guy, and he's still actually doing that, which is incredible. And I'd say I think that the rest of the league can take a page out of what the Bills did here. The Bills drafted a guy, Josh Allen, who didn't have that high-level training. He didn't go to the all-elite 11 camps. He didn't grow up with the football pedigree playing quarterback that a Sam Darnold did or other people did all the time. He was a JUCO transfer. He didn't get all these offers. He needed the reps. He needed to be groomed. That's what they did. They put him in his rookie year, probably earlier than they wanted to after the Nathan Peterman disaster. But you know what? They never. The biggest thing they did was, guys, they never allowed chaos or dysfunction around him. You look what happened in Cleveland with Mayfield and all the different coaches. You look what happened in New York and Darnold with all the different coaches. Josh never had that. Josh has had consistency with Brian Daboll and with his quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey and with Sean McDermott. And he has not had dysfunction. He has not had chaos. And give him credit, he's really worked on his game, and he's a super competitor. And I think all of that speaks to where he is today.
I got to ask you about a guy that I wanted, a guy that people told me would be a dude. I want to get your opinion of Ed Oliver and what he's been for the Bills.
Ed Oliver is kind of a, I don't want to say a disappointment because I don't think he has been, but I think there are a lot of Bills fans who feel he hasn't lived up to his number nine draft status.
Yep. Right.
I agree he is a dude, but here's the thing about Ed Oliver. He is a much better player when he has a space eater like a Star Lotulelei next to him. And Star Lotulelei opted out of this season with the COVID situation. They don't have that guy. They are a lighter, smaller defensive front on purpose. The Bills like it. They're built on speed, and that's a guy like Ed Oliver. You know, they have Quentin Jefferson, Vernon Butler. But, you know, I think he's a penetrating type of defensive tackle. He needs a guy like that eating up a couple double teams to help him do that. And the stats just aren't there. I will say this, though. There is never any question about his motor, his hustle, his want to. I think all of that is there. The big plays just simply aren't there for Ed. But I think that's because teams can handle him a little more because they don't have to take on those bigger defensive tackles like a Star Lotulelei who's not there this year.
So we know about Sean McDermott. He's a fiery guy. We talk about the job Leslie Frazier is doing. Brian Daboll's got the SEC connection and obviously the Patriot connection. No worries about him leaving, right? Is Daboll going to be aggressive in this game? We're going to be swinging for the fences, see a couple of home run shots from Josh Allen in this game?
Yeah, guys, so here's the deal. You know, Brian Daboll's from here. I don't know if you know that he actually grew up in Buffalo. He's from Buffalo, and, you know, he's got a lot of connections here. He's really weaved his way through the coaching ranks. New England, he was down in with Nick Saban in Alabama, winning a national championship with Tua. You know, I really wanted him to get a head coaching job. He deserves it. He's worked his tail off in this league. And I really believe this. If the Buffalo Bills had lost Saturday to the Ravens, I think that Brian Daboll is the head coach of the Chargers today. But I think what happened was the Chargers didn't want to wait. And they interviewed a couple extra people, and the owner said, hey, I'm not waiting another week, another 2 weeks. What's the difference? I like this guy, Brandon Staley, and no disrespect to him. I'm sure, you know, he could be a fine coach. But I think that's what happened, and that was the situation Daboll was in, where he kept winning, and it kept hurting him because then you have to wait on staff and things like that. We talked with him on Monday on the Zoom calls that they do, and, you know, he sounded a bit, like, disappointed in the fact that it's gone this way, but he said the goal is ultimately one day to be a head coach. Sean McDermott said he's had conversations with him, and he'll keep it private. And as soon as we heard this, a lot of people said, this Sunday is going to be the Brian Daboll revenge tour. He's going to try to light up 40 on the scoreboard to show why he should be a head coach and was passed up. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a chip on his shoulder this week. That's all I'm going to say. I think he's going to go into Sunday and say, I'm going to show everybody why I should have been hired for a head coach.
I know that there were only about 6,000 fans there, but man, it was loud. How many are they allowing in, or should I say, what will the Buffalo be like if the Bills are able to win and get back to a Super Bowl since the 90s, first time since the 90s? What will it be like there?
I've seen some people joking, I think, saying that this season for the Bills was, because of COVID and all the restrictions, God's way of making sure that when the Bills actually were good, we didn't tear down our city, right? That nobody could, right, go out and do anything, right? So I know, right? Because you guys know the way Bills Mafia is, and you see the viral videos, you see all the craziness and people jumping off rooftops and tables and burning things and stuff like that, you know, burning themselves when they jump on the table. You know, that's not who Buffalo really is. That's the fringe of Bills Mafia that everybody sees. But we are our fan base, Bills Mafia, what they're really about is what you've seen, those donations and people and raising money to help charities and things like that. And even Lamar Jackson gets hurt in the game last week. And, right, you know, Bills fans overnight started donating money to his charity because they wanted to make sure he was okay. And $350,000, you know, in one day. It's amazing. And I only say that because I want to make sure people know that about, you know, this city and what our connection is to this team. And if they go there, guys, you know, you live in Atlanta. It's a much bigger city. We're not Atlanta. We're not New York. We're not Chicago. Our existence here is about our sports teams. We live and die with them, right? This is what we do. We are a college town when it comes to the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres and hockey and college basketball too, to a lesser degree. Like, we love our sports teams, and the connection that this team has to this city during this time when people needed a positive distraction has just been incredible.
Well, that's great stuff, man. It'd be a hell of a synergy in a way, a full circle for Buffalo to get down to Tampa and make up for Super Bowl 25 and get it done.
Yeah.
We don't really have any skin in the game, but I think after your conversation, a lot of our listeners will be pulling for the Bills, man. Best of luck.
All right, thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.